copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Now, Pope Francis brings to the discussion a further development using the figure of the polyhedron. I don't know if you are familiar with this geometrical figure, but here is an example of a polyhedron. It's an imperfect solid, not a sphere, not a rounded kind of solid. It's a solid made of different angles, different lengths, different sides, related to one another in different ways, not forming a harmonic whole or harmonious whole, but rather forming a rather awkward unity, and yet the polyhedron is a solid, is a figure, not related harmoniously, but still related really, substantially. And so he has introduced this suggestion that unity is like a polyhedron. There is no clear center. Not every angle or every side is related in the same way to the, with the others, but each one has to be taken its own way. And yet the task is to unite them in order for each angle, each side, to form a whole. That allows various degrees of diversity, degrees of multiple relationships, degrees of multiple ways of interacting, degrees of multiple traditions, multiple theologies, multiple whatever. There is not a single path. You see, the pre-Vatican II outlook of unity provided for three dimensions: same creed, same sacraments, same belonging to the same church. These were the threefold aspects, ingredients of unity. But in this post-Vatican II setting, there are always shades of the three elements. And even beyond the three traditional elements, what is really important is our shared humanity. That is the background of much of this sacramental discourse of unity. It is based on our common shared humanity that is understood as a shared brotherhood, sisterhood, that is understood as implying that we pray somehow to the same God, that is understood as at least implying that we are on the same yet different path towards the eschaton. Now, the other paradigm, and I'm here, you know, very generalizing, has to do with the ecumenical view. There are different models and phases. It's not possible to pinpoint one single paradigm. There are many, actually. There is a long history. We're not going into the details. But I just want to make reference to the 1982 Lima document, Lima, Peru, Latin America document, the BEM document, Baptism, Eucharist, Ministry. Basically, following that pre-Vatican II type of approach in establishing the criteria of Christian unity, baptism, the same sacraments, the same sacrament of initiation, leading towards the other sacramental pillar, the Eucharist, celebrating the same chief sacrament, the Eucharist, eventually leading to sharing the same ministry. Therefore, recognizing various degrees of ministerial interconnection, fellowship, and therefore unity. It all starts with baptism, and it aims at Eucharistic unity leading to ministerial, ecclesiastical, institutional forms of unity. Unity is grounded in baptism. So even the ecumenical understanding of unity shares with the pre-Vatican II understanding the importance of baptism as being the ground for unity. And recent trends in ecumenical development of the theology of unity, they tend to interplay between the unity of Christians, the baptized, and the unity of mankind. There is a strong influence of more universalistic trends into the discourse of Christian unity. Christian unity is just one step towards the unity of mankind, towards establishing ways of enjoying, appreciating the unity of mankind. And this follows post-Vatican II trends, which of course are very interested in bringing about Christian unity, but as a stepping stone, not as an end in and of itself. Remember that the Church is the sacrament of unity between God and humanity. So the scope of Catholic ecumenism is not restricted to Christians only. It's only a stepping stone towards the far bigger ecumenical vision that includes the whole of humanity. That is true Catholicism. Not only Christian Catholicism, but true Catholicism involving the whole of humanity. And we have to, I think, understand the parallels as well as the intersections between Roman Catholic understanding of unity as it is practiced by, say, Pope Francis, and, you know, ecumenical trends in appropriating and developing ideas, models, and categories for Christian unity. There is a sense in which this scope of unity is shared by the Catholic and the ecumenical view in seeing the Christian unity as being only a stage or a part or a stepping stone towards a much greater, bigger unity. So there are overlaps, there are differences, and the polyhedron provides, even for the ecumenical unity, to fit in this new Catholic vision for unity. Of course, there is the issue of the papacy, the issue of the claims of the Catholic Church concerning the other churches or ecclesial communions, but Pope Francis is saying our unity is a polyhedron. We don't need to be united on all the three points. We just be happy to be united in what is possible. And given the fact that we're moving together, we commit to one another to walk together, to do things together, to pray together, and unity, a deeper degree of unity will come about as we enjoy what the kind of unity that we already have. That is the same thing that he says to non-Catholics, he says to Muslims, he says to secular people. Let's walk together. We are united. We are already united, different in many ways. No problem. There is a polyhedron. We don't need to be harmonious in our the way in which we relate to one another. There may be differences, even radical ones. The important thing is that we walk together and we do things together. That's the constant message that the Catholic Church is saying in terms of what it means by unity. So, convergences between Catholic and ecumenical views of unity. Baptism is the basis of unity. Spiritual ecumenism needs to be implemented. Common prayer and friendship, doing things together, walking together, and leaving aside other aspects, theological, ecclesiastical issue. Theology comes second, not because it's not important, but what we can do together as we discuss things. Let's do together things. Let's walk together. Let's be united the way we can now. We are already united and walking towards fuller unity. It's no longer the case of moving between being disunited into becoming united, but walking through the path of going from imperfect unity to more perfected ways of being united. It's walking along that road from imperfect to less imperfect or more perfected. The goal, of course, is always institutional unity, but that is not what is the obsession. The hope, the aspiration is that since the Catholic Church is the sign and instrument of the unity between God and mankind, there has always been an institutional element. The sacrament is a visible sign and instrument. So it's not about a universalistic, pluralistic type of mystical unity. It always involves the sacramental element of unity, which entails the institutional dimension. Evangelical view of unity. Yeah. It's a gift to be preserved. It's an already given gift to be preserved and appreciated and lived out. And, of course, a path to be committed to, but evangelical view emphasizes the end-term goal, but on the basis of an already given gift. That is the foundation, or unity is already there. It needs to be safeguarded, it needs to be appreciated, but it's not to be constructed or built. The unity of believers. Of course, there is a degree of unity as far as human creatures are concerned, as far as human creation is concerned. But when we talk about unity, Christian unity, we talk about the unity of those who believe. Mission is a mark of unity. There are primary and secondary issues. And as far as ways of embodying that unity, well, the evangelical world has different networks or movements or horizontal organizations trying to represent it, trying to embody it, trying to give it a visible partial expression. World Evangelical Alliance, the Lausanne movement, there are different networks. There are others, of course. There is not a single institutionalized body. But the emphasis here is on the necessity for unity to be something that involves believers in Christ. There are differences in ways in which we appreciate the sacraments, their meanings for the Christian life, but our unity is in Christ, and the unity is for those who are believers in Him. There, There is much that we could say about it. Let me move to the mission as a mark of unity. Yeah, that's another important area that we should work on, because mission is a word that is used in different contexts and by different bodies and with different meanings. So, for instance, the Catholic Church uses the word mission to define every aspect, everything that the Catholic Church does, from its sacramental service and operations to charity work to humanitarian relief, its mission. And there is not necessarily a proclamation-based type of understanding of mission. Mission is everything the Church does. And so they are prone to use the word mission in describing whatever the Church does. And I think it is our responsibility to be aware of this usage and to know that perhaps this is not the same way we would understand the word mission. And therefore, in dealing with the need for cooperation with the Catholic Church, being careful not to, at least to define what we mean by mission, and not using the word as, you know, the Catholic Church would use it without us asking questions. So, talking about common mission, for instance, in the 19th, in the United States, evangelicals and Catholics together, this statement arising from the so-called culture wars of the 80s and 90s on issues like abortion, euthanasia, and witnessing to a common front by evangelicals and Catholics in defending basic life issues. Now, the way in which they termed that cooperation was mission. Evangelicals and Catholics together toward a common mission. And that is at best confusing, because it starts from life, ethical, social issues, and it adds to it something that, as far as the evangelical understanding of mission is concerned, brings in proclamation, the gospel, the accomplishment of the missionary task as such. And that has caused confusion in many readers, because people would have accepted the fact that we have the responsibility to work together as much as possible on several issues and topics, but always being careful not to confuse our cooperation with an already completed sense of common mission, as if we now agree on the basics of the gospel and we can therefore move on in unity in doing mission. If we can do mission together, it is because we are so united on the foundations that there is no longer any significant thing impeding us to do so. So, for instance, in the last round of talks between the World Evangelical Alliance and the Catholic Church, and I was part of this round of talk, I tried to make sure that word mission needed always to be qualified. Because the Catholics would always say, oh, we need to encourage common mission, common mission. And the suggestion was, let's talk about common causes, issues of common concerns, doing things together in the realm of the public sphere. Because if we talk about mission, at least the way we understand mission, we are giving some overtones that imply that we now, if we do the same mission, we have the same gospel and we have the same goal ultimately. But this is not really the case, at least as far as I'm concerned.